When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on.
There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
To do to save his life, call his wife and
hey!
Nothing to save but what a day.
How's your boy been? Good morning, everyone. How we doing on this Tuesday morning? I know Met fans are doing well. The season's back on. I called them dead a month ago. I'm an idiot. How are you? Good to talk to you. Fliegelman's got it somewhere. Dead. That's what I said. I said it. I know what I said. I said it. They are dead. I'm willing to call it now. This Met team is dead. They're not dead. Believe it or not, and believe me, I was more flabbergasted about it than you could possibly be. I was wrong. I was wrong because they're not dead. They're right in the mix. They're right in the middle of things. One game out of a wild card spot. One game. Yes, there are still four or five teams ahead of them. Yes, I am not ready to declare them back. I am not ready to say this Met team is legit. I am not ready to say the offense will never go back into its slumber. I still have a lot I need to see. And the Mets still have a lot to prove before I am confident that this is not just another up and down nature of a season that they have grown accustomed to performing like, where there are good, there are bad, there is good, there is bad, and ultimately more bad than good. But right now, you can't argue with how good this offense is. And they haven't done it against nobody's, my friends. They haven't just pounded the lousy this or the lousy that. You are talking about Dylan Cease and the San Diego Padres. Dylan Cease, who is an ace for the White Sox, a very coveted pitcher, who's had a very good year. And then John Gray with the Texas Rangers, who are having a miserable season, yes. They are under 500, yes. But John Gray had a 2.17 in 11 starts heading into this game. And they jumped on him early. And they jumped on Cease early. And they continue to add. And right now, whether it's Lindor with four hits at the top of the order, whether it's J.D. Martinez, NL Player of the Week, who continues to stay hot, whether it's Pete Alonso, who hopefully can get it going, who hits the home run the other day, who comes through with the first RBI single in this game, one of 22 hits and 14 runs that this team put up yesterday. And what we always thought would be the strength of this team, this offense, what we always believed if this team was going to do what Stearns told us and what the owner told us was possible to do, which is rebuild the organization while winning, while competing, and that this owner believes that they are a playoff team. If they were going to do that, it wasn't going to be on the surprise strength of a rotation you had no confidence in without Kodai Senga. As much as that's been the case, that wasn't what's going to get you there. It was going to be this offense. It was going to be the middle of this offense. It was going to be the core of this team and scoring runs. And instead of being their strength, it has been their biggest weakness and liability. And for a week now, a little bit more than a week to be fair, as they've won 10 of their last 12, this offense has been dynamic. Lindor at the top of the order was a great move. He's been much better there. It sparked him, as well as the meeting, and as well as Grimace, which is a dumb storyline that would kind of perturb me as a Met fan that everything has to be a joke with the Mets. Like, we literally win a big game like this. We're on a six-game winning streak, 10 out of 12, and the first question Nimmo gets on the field is about Grimace. Like, it's stupid. It's fun, and I don't want to poo-poo it if you have fun with it, but ultimately, it would bother me. Instead of the story being how the Mets are playing well, it's like, Grimace threw out the first pitch. You haven't lost since. Well. But that doesn't change the idea that this offense has been, Nimmo has really completely gotten hot. Here, he was terrific against San Diego, hits a home run in this game. They've been dynamic. they keep coming at you. They score early. In the other game against San Diego, they gave up four runs and almost blew the lead. They come right back with a Torrens home run and then three more runs after that and get right back to the four-run lead they had. Like they've done, five-run lead they had. They've done a really nice job with this offense, but I need more. Six is not enough when it only brings you to three games under 500. 10 out of 12 isn't enough when it still leaves you in the middle of a pack of mediocrity inside the National League. It's a start. It's a great start. And hopefully it is the beginning of what we can look back on as the beginning of the run that led this Met team back into the postseason. And it's good they started now because they had to. Because they don't have until September to figure this out. They don't have all year to get back into a playoff contention. They don't have all year to find the wild card spot. They don't. Because you know it, and I know it. This general manager wants to trade. This general manager wants to rebuild. In my mind, he was probably in the ear of the owner and Billy Epler last year, knowing he was going to come here. And probably, I know it's, you know, illegal and tampering and whatever else, as he was still working for Milwaukee at some point, but I wouldn't be surprised if this was, even then, had the fingerprints of David Stearns all over it, as he is going to come here and rebuild this organization in his vision. And I think that's still what he wants to do. I think it's been the plan. It's what he wants. But there is a level of success. There is a record. There is a standing inside this wild card race that will preclude him from doing such. He's not able to trade away pieces. He can't trade away Severino. He can't trade away J.D. Martinez as he's leading the charge into the wild card. He can't do all of that if this team puts itself over the next few weeks into a position where they are not just chasing five teams a game back, but leading five teams a couple games up. That's where you'll probably have to be. Because the owner himself said it in the press conference in London. Okay, so, you know, even if you make the playoffs a couple games under 500, what have you really achieved? They're trying to rebuild this team to be a champion. That's what they want. And you have to, and this team is going to have to prove to him they're worth not selling away pieces. That it's worth not getting prospects for Severino to chase this pennant. It's worth not getting prospects for J.D. Martinez to be thrust right into the middle of a lineup of some other team chasing the pennant when he should be a Met chasing a pennant. It's going to take more winning than just this. And we all know that, but that's what it's going to take. And so while I'm pleased, and you should be, and Met fans should be super excited about what they've seen, you still need more. And I'm not going to declare them back or relevant, especially with a GM hanging over them ready to make moves, until they do a lot more winning than this. And we'll see how it goes. I think that they are capable of it. I think they've been capable of it all year, and yet we've seen floundering. We've seen terrible offense. We've seen brutal play. We've seen bad defense. We've run the gamut. We've seen it from the Mets. But now is the time to keep being hot. They are the hottest team in baseball, and they are going to have to keep this GM away from doing what he wants to do. And I've gotten a couple calls about asking about buying. I don't see it. I don't see the Mets really buying. I think this is the team. Maybe subtle moves. Maybe. Help get a bullpen piece. But I don't think it'll be anything major. I don't think he wants to add payroll, and I don't think they want to trade away prospects. You would have to find yourself battling for a division. Like, no joke. Like, the Mets would really have to go on this tear and find themselves, you know, well out in front, competing with the Braves for the top wild card with a secure playoff spot or just really significant amount of winning where this offense is dominant for a long stretch before I believe this GM and owner would do anything to either add payroll or trade away prospects to bolster this team. It's one thing just not to sell. It's another to add and trade away the prospects you've coveted over the last 2 years trying to acquire to build the farm system, to build this team from within, to have young talent that cores the major league team while you sprinkle it with the right free agents. That's the goal. That's the mission. And you can forego adding more, but to give away, to help this team, that's a far cry. But that's the goal of this current group. Prove to this regime that you are good enough to not only stick with us, but to help us. That's the goal. And 10 out of 12 and 6 in a row does not make that goal met just yet. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. And of course, we got a huge series. I just did that before the 4 o'clock hour. Got a huge series. Yankees, Baltimore, battling for the division. The Yankees, despite all of their winning, despite the best record in the American League and all of Major League Baseball, the Orioles are right there with them, a game and a half back, as they head into this series with a full, healthy team except Anthony Rizzo, which I would think a lot of Yankee fans don't mind with the way he was playing, unfortunately. But he's got a broken bone in his arm. He's going to miss at least 4 to 6 weeks, which for me indicates the end of Anthony Rizzo as the starting first baseman of the New York Yankees, because by the time he's back, the Yankees will have had to have done something. And that's either add a third baseman and move LeMahieu over to first, or add a first baseman. And to me, the injury opens up the possibility of getting a superstar player. Or I shouldn't say superstar, a starting player. Where if he was healthy and playing, even at the level he was before, which is not very good, he's too important to this team. He's too important to the clubhouse. I know we joke about him and Judge's dog being friends, but he is a loud voice inside that room. And to just supplant him completely while healthy and playing, I didn't think would happen. Could they have brought in someone who could platoon with him? Could you bring in someone and reduce his playing time? Sure. But just to bring in a legitimate first baseman to take over, I didn't see. But now, maybe that's opened up a little bit. Maybe under the guise of, hey, we can't count on him coming back. Who knows if he's ever going to be right again? You know, they might have to go out and get a legitimate player for the middle of this lineup or the back end of this lineup, and someone who could play every day and you could feel good about. So it opens up the possibility to upgrade first base at a much higher level than I thought they would while Rizzo was healthy. And then it also enables them to do what I think they should do, what they won't do, and that's add the young prospect, Ben Rice, catcher, first baseman, to the 40-man roster, bring him up here, and play him for a month leading into that trade deadline, leading into that decision, and see if you need to make it at all. Because right now, I know they've taken, Peraza's been taking pictures of him in New York City, the young prospect last year, everybody remembers Oswaldo Peraza. Unfortunately, he's struggling in the minor leagues, but that's a player who has played here before. That's a player who's played in playoff games here at the Yankees, who could play third base while LeMahieu plays first base, and just stem the tide. And I think that's what the Yankees are going to do, especially having to add Ben Rice to the 40-man roster. But they should bring up the young Ben Rice to play first base and find out what you've got. And I know he doesn't have a lot of at-bats at AAA, but you know what? Neither did Anthony Volpe. It worked out. Neither did Jason Dominguez. He played pretty well. Give this young kid a chance and see if you even need to make a move at first base come the trade deadline. Give it a month, but they won't. 888-808-1019. So that's where we are. No Rizzo. They thrusted Cole right into the middle of it, and the Mets are as hot as ever. A baseball Tuesday right here on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Peter in Manhattan. What's up, Pete?
Chris, how are you? Good morning.
I'm doing good morning.
Great. Just a comment and a question. Yeah, I mean, it's important that the Yankees win this series. I'm not surprised that they're pitching called, because understand, I mean, you know this, the loser of the division has an extra layer of playoffs, and it's a short playoff series. So it could be disastrous for the team. You know, if the Yankees are the loser of this division, they'll have an extra layer of series to play, you know, playoff series. So it could be disastrous for the team.
No doubt.
So that's my comment.
Well, I mean, yeah, but the only point would be they still have, you know, this series does not make or break the division. Even if they get swept, they're a game and a half out. It's not like that's some sort of number they can't recover from. And they'll still have, you know, 7 games left with Baltimore, something along those lines. So it's not a death knell no matter what happens in the series. But you're right. Winning the division is very important. I'm 100% with you.
And the question I have for you, Chris, is now with Cole back, what's the pitching rotation going to be? And the other question I have, been, you know, in addition to that, is would a 6-man rotation be in play here possibly?
No.
I'll hang up. Thank you for taking my call, and you'll be well.
No, Chris, you too. You too, Peter. Thank you very much. Thanks. No. There's not a – first of all, Cody Petit is leaving the rotation. I would think that's what's going to happen. And no, I don't think a six-man rotation is in play. They don't like to do it. They've never done it. I'd be surprised if they do it. There's off days come. I mean, they're going to play a stretch here with no off days, but no. So, I mean, it's easy. The rotation is now Nestor Cortez, who pitches tonight, Gerrit Cole, Luis Gil, Rodon, and Stroman. There's your five. That's the five-man rotation. I don't think there's any, I don't really think it's a question. Danny in Belrose, what's up, Danny? How we doing?
Pretty good, Chris. How you doing? Good morning.
Good morning.
So happy to have Cole back definitely. Yes. Tomorrow. That's going to be great. I feel like after the All-Star break, they should reset the starting five. So I would do, obviously, Gil. I let him anchor it because he's earned it.
No.
I put Cole second. And then I would put Rodon. Stroman, and then I put Cortez at five. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I think you're. I think you got it backwards. At least the heel. The rest of it doesn't matter. I think they're going to have heel start last coming out of the All-Star break. To give him as much time and limited innings. I think they're going to pitch him. I think they're going to try and manipulate time off for him by pitching him, the fifth man out of the All-Star break, or try and pitch him, a couple days out of the All-Star break, and then not pitch him until the fifth man coming back from the All-Star break. So they'll try and give him they'll try and give him 2 weeks without a start to try and limit his innings. Now he might pitch in the All-Star game, which I don't think they would stop him doing. He's going to be an All-Star for sure. He might be the starter in the game. So
yeah, I think so. I agree.
But yeah, they're going to pitch him last coming out of the All-Star break, especially if he pitches during the game. You could bet your bottom dollar he will be the last guy.
Yeah, you're right.
But
right. You're right.
Yeah, no, I get you, and thank you for the call. And that doesn't matter. This isn't a playoff. It's not opening day. It's not a play. It doesn't matter who cares what order they pitch in. Doesn't matter. You like to split up the lefties, I would think. That's the only I would not want Rodon and Nestor Cortez back to back. Other than that, I don't think it matters, really. And maybe not if you want to change styles, you wouldn't want Heel and Cole's, hard throwing. I know this it's not the exact same arsenal, but Stroman's a completely different pitcher. But they're gonna right now at least, because it's gonna be Cole and then Luis Gil the next game in Baltimore. It doesn't matter. But I think they're gonna try and play games with Luis Gil so that he skips starts. So I doubt very much he's the first start after the All-Star break. Big Mo in Hazlitt, New Jersey. What's up, Big Mo?
Big Mac, what's going on, baby?
What's up, Big Mo?
How we doing?
I'm doing great.
Nah, nothing. Happy holidays to you.
Sure. Why not? Happy holidays. That's fine. I'm not. What holiday?
It's Juneteenth. I haven't really heard too much.
Oh, it's today?
Juneteenth.
Well, tomorrow's Juneteenth, is it not? Today's
no,
June
18th. In a couple days. Yeah, a couple
tomorrow.
Days. I mean, everyone says happy holidays a couple days before Christmas time, right?
Typically, we don't say, happy holidays before every holiday.
I feel like.
I don't know. Get him back. If he calls back up, call him again. Jordan in Baldwin. What's up, Jordan?
What's going on?
What's up?
Happy Juneteenth, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's tomorrow. I know the kids are off. My wife is off.
That's the best. No, whatever. Okay, so anyways, about the Yankees. I'm going to the game tomorrow. I'm pretty pumped up about that. Second game I got to get a chance to go to. Bummed I didn't get the Cole news before the chance, but whatever. Looking forward to a strong series against Baltimore. What do you think the ideal takeaways from this series would be? You think like taking 2-3 maybe, or even a sweep is too much to ask? And also another thing I wanted to bring up is Gleyber Torres has a history against the Orioles of like just annihilating them. And I think around this trade deadline, he's getting hot too. And I think it wouldn't be unwise for Cashman to try and shop around Torres and make a point of him getting hot. especially with the needs of this bullpen and the first base needs, like you said. I know you want to bring this kid up. I don't know much about him, but I know that we do need needs at first base, and honestly, the infield in general, because besides Volpe, you know, there's no one really, and Volpe's even an if, there's no one really in the infield that I'm like, all right, this guy can make a play. Like, in the playoff, because this team isn't about the regular season. It's a playoff mind. So, in the playoffs, if there's a sharp ground ball in a late game, and we're down or we're up a run, and there's runners on the corners, and we need a double play, do you trust Gleyber Torres to you know, turn and make a throw? Rizzo can pick the ball. I'll give him that. But...
yeah, I trust. Listen. I trust him to make the play. I do. I don't know what else you can do other than trust him. He's going to make. He's made mistakes. He's no doubt prone to mistakes. It happens. But I can't worry. And then the idea of trading him. Who are you going to trade him to? Like, everyone just says, oh, you show him off. Maybe you could trade him for a reliever. Who is taking Gleyber Torres? Because he's a free agent at the end of the year. So you've got to trade him to a team that's competing. A team that's out of it is not going to trade for Gleyber Torres. So it's got to be a team that sees themselves as a contender chasing a pennant race who needs to upgrade at second base and get themselves some offense. So that's who you're trading with. So which one of those teams is comfortable robbing Peter to pay Paul and giving you a reliever they need? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Gleyber Torres, if the Yankees were out of it, Gleyber Torres is the perfect piece to trade and get prospects back. But to trade him for a reliever that's going to help the New York Yankees, I just don't see it. On any real level, a real good reliever, the team you're trading him to is chasing a World Series. Why are they getting rid of good relievers? For Gleyber Torres, who's having a terrible year. Like, I just don't know if it makes sense. I don't think trading Gleyber makes sense right now. There was a time last year it made sense. In the offseason, you could have done it. Now, I don't think it does.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Testaverde will take the snap, go to one knee. This game is over. The Jets lock up their first playoff appearance since 1991 on a 21-16 victory over the Miami Dolphins.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 4:32. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the phone calls here as we got a half hour left in our 5-hour midnight ride until the warm-up show at 5 a.m. Omar in Brooklyn. What's up, Omar?
How are you?
Good. How are you, buddy?
The big series tonight. So you have some comments or some prediction? I predict Baltimore winning this series. And if you want to prove a point that really legitimate contender, they are the best team in the American League, beat Baltimore in this series at home.
Sure.
When Cole is coming back. So if you don't win tonight, don't tell me. You should come on Friday morning or Thursday morning when the series is over and Baltimore wins the series. You will say Baltimore is better than us unless we beat them. Thank you. Is it fair?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's fair. If Baltimore wins 2 of 3, the Yankees would still have, a half a game lead in the standings. But, yeah, that's fair. It's tough to say you're better when they've lost. They would have lost 2 series against them. Yeah.
Okay. Now, I come to today on NBA Finals, right? So here I have come to conclusion. This was a star league. Everybody from the 30 years, 40 years I've been watching, it's a star league, right? But now I have come to this conclusion that this is a star, does their star thing, but this league is the best role players of any league and the depth of this league. Last year, Denver wins it. The guy who is in Toronto right now, they don't have it. The depth this year, they blew a 20-point lead in seventh game and lose the series. Dallas Mavericks, Boston Celtics were the deepest team in this league, and they have the best three role players in the whole league, Derek White, Holiday, and the two stars does their star things. And yeah. when the star doesn't do their things and the role players does it, like what happened with the Knicks. In Game 7, I have a problem still. I cannot forget that. You know why? That Division So and Alex Burke gave you the Game 7. But what did our center did? Four rebounds and Brunson. You cannot go down 20 points at home Game 7. Don't tell me injuries and this and that. That was a fluke. Look at Luka. He's a one-dimensional. And if your two best players are the weakest defensive player in your starting lineup, you're going to have problems with the teams like Boston. And the Knicks have the same problem going forward. Julius Randle, he can play defense. Brunson, yes, he's passionate, but he's the weakest defender. If you have your five starters, he's the weak. Everybody is going to attack on them because he's too slow guarding point guard or shooting guards. So this is a problem that... Boston Celtics exposed Dallas Mavericks. Even they have two superstars, and if superstar doesn't do it, this is the league of role players. That's why Knicks need to build up their depth. They have the two stars, but the weakness in these Knicks are that their two best players are not their best defensive players either. This league needs their superstar to be the best player. Jason Tatum can have off games, but he can guard his player. Brown can have off game, mm-hmm. but he can guard his player. Right. Brunson cannot guard his player. That's the thing I want to say. If you agree or disagree.
Yeah, I mean, no, that listen, it's not... Those two players are better defensive players than Jalen Brunson. There's no argument there. And you would like to have your star player to be a two-way player a little bit more than Brunson is, but, I mean, offensively leader of the team. I mean, I think Brunson has proved he can still be... the superstar of the team. You're talking about maybe another one and getting the right role players. I don't disagree with you. I think that you have learned that, yes, it's a star league and you need the stars, but very rarely can you get away without having a legitimate full roster of guys who fit inside the system. And that was kind of what the Knicks were. That's what the Knicks became before the injuries. I mean, I would have liked to have seen, put it this way, did you see a team that competed with the Celtics throughout the playoffs that were as good as the Knicks were when Julius Randle and OG Anunoby were on the team in January?
No, I agree. If we were healthy,
yeah.
I give my chance to... And the thing is that irritates me is Julius Randle can't play defense. He just takes like plays off. He has a legitimate height, legitimate strength, legitimate physical force, and athletic ability to play defense. But he just take Brunson doesn't take defensively lapses, but he is just too slow to guard somebody. But Julius Randle has all the athletic ability to be a very good defensive player, but yeah. He takes plays off, and he should learn from this playoff as he was pregame and the postgame show. I think he has a sit down and he has shown this playoffs, and I think he will be a better player coming next year. And I can't wait. I can't wait
for Buffalo Bills.
I can't wait for my wide receiver. What do you think about that Florida wide receiver that the Bills drafted? What do you think about that? He is a press conference. I have never seen in NFL, NBA, the guy who has not stepped in a field yet, and people are waiting for his press conference because it's so amazing.
On Aaron Rodgers, I lost you. Who are we talking about?
I'm talking about Coleman from Buffalo Bills, the wide receiver from Florida they drafted. In the second round?
Okay.
The guy is amazing in press conference. People wait for his press conference. He is amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know who's waiting with bated breath for his press conference. I mean, he might be good in them. I know you're.
Keon Coleman had like the Macy. I think it was Macy's comment. He had the jacket.
Oh right. But yeah, little over. I didn't understand. I agree with him on his Knick take, and ultimately, yeah. I mean, listen. I think Randle is a little bit of a better defender than you're giving him credit for. That he can't play defense. Not a great perimeter defender, and that's why they needed to go get OG Anunoby. I think he's physical. The last thing I'd call him is lazy. I don't know if he, you know, I think in today's day and age of the NBA, a lot of people take plays off. In the playoffs, they don't. And that's why it jumps out at you. The style of playoff basketball is different than the regular season. I think Randall could play defense. I agree with you. I think he's athletic enough. Despite having great footwork offensively, I do think Jalen Brunson is limited defensively. Like, I think there's only so much he can do. I think Randall can guard. I'm sure there are times where he takes some time off, but I think, you know, if him and OG Anunoby, I mean, they were a good defensive team. They were a very good defensive team when OG came there. So I don't think it's anything that's, you know, Hart plays defense. Mitch Robinson was, you know, defends the rim. Now, I don't know if Mitch is going to be back. I'm not sure what they're going to do with Hartenstein. I know he's going to get some offers. Obviously, it sounds like Philadelphia is going to come hot and heavy for OG. And I just read a story that they expect him to make at least $35 million a year, that his floor is $35 million a year and his ceiling is the max contract, and that Philadelphia is, you know, in desperate need of a 3-and-D type player. I would love to see that group come back. I'm open to anything. This is how I've left off the Knicks offseason. I'm open to anything. I'm open to trying to add the big star. I'm open to trade away any player other than Brunson. I'm open to not re-sign any player. I'm open to anything that Leon Rose and Thibodeau get together and come up with, because I think they've done a really nice job of understanding what players Tibbs needs and then Tibbs going about coaching it. I think they've done a really nice job with it, and I would trust them whatever they do. But could I see them running it back with tweaks? I hate just running it back exactly the same. I don't ever believe, you know, in standing pat or standing still. I think they're going to have to do subtle things differently and add some different pieces. But that team, it's tantalizing, especially as you watched Boston go through this NBA. Let's be fair. I mean, the NBA playoffs were atrocious. And Boston just dominated. Boston was 64-18 in the regular season, and they were 16-3 in the postseason. Losing no more than a series. They went no worse than five. And honestly, maybe the Pacer game was legit, but I think they just got bored against Miami, and I think the same thing in the NBA Finals. I don't know about bored, but just, you know, didn't play their game and got beat, knowing they could come back and win it at home. But they were a force, and I'll tell you the truth. I did not see a team in this postseason, not Denver, clearly, as they lost to Minnesota, not Minnesota, certainly not Dallas here. There was not another team in the NBA who I feel would have given the Boston Celtics as much of a run for their money as that team, that Knicks team that was playing in January with a healthy Julius Randle and a healthy Anunoby. And so I'm tempted to just say, let's run it back, because we never got to see it. But we'll see what the Knicks do. But yeah, I mean, Anunoby's going to be coveted. Hartenstein's going to be coveted. And ultimately, I think if they have Anunoby, I think they're good enough defensively, even with their stars having some of a deficiency in that department.
We know what we think. What do you think? Call the Fan, 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business.
All right, I'm here. Don't worry. All right, 448, McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Last few minutes. You can give me a call at 888-808-1019. You can hit me up on X or Twitter or whatever the hell you call it these days. I can give you some of the stuff that I got on Twitter. Oh, from our favorite friend, producer of In Hot Water, whatever that is. So, if you're looking for a show about hot water, In Hot Water, the guy who produces it is a big fan of the English language, because he's constantly correcting me on things I've said incorrect. So I guess I said preclude him as opposed to preclude him. So it's preclude, not preclude, you moron.
And listen, that guy, when he does his five-hour radio shows, no. He's perfect.
He's perfect. That's okay. I'm open to it. I'm repeating it on air. Andy Wilson. Peraza is coming up to replace Rizzo. Look at the pictures he just posted today. You don't take pictures from Manhattan if you're not going to play in New York. Well, that's accurate. Peraza, Oswaldo Peraza, the infield prospect that we all, you know, Yankee fans know. If you're not a Yankee fan and don't know who Oswaldo Peraza is, he's a infield prospect, a very talented shortstop. It was pretty much him and Volpe. He was a little further down the line as far as experience and at-bats at AAA. And it was him and Volpe at the start of last year competing for the shortstop job, and Volpe won it, and he went back down. If you remember, even before that, he played in the postseason when IKF could no longer play shortstop, when that experiment really just, you know, fell on its face in the ALCS against the Astros. Peraza actually played a little bit in the postseason. So he's been around for a while, a name most Yankee fans know. Someone who's really struggled, you know, coming back from injury this year in AAA, he's hitting under 200. So, I mean, Ben Rice, the first base prospect, is wildly more successful right now offensively down in AAA. But it seems like I think that's the safe thing. I think he was going to be the bench player, the utility infielder for this team before he got hurt. And now that the position is open up and an infield position is opened up, I think they're going to bring him up. He's on the 40-man. Ben Rice would have to be added to the 40-man to come play. So I think that's probably what's going to happen. I think you're very perceptive. I think the idea he's taking pictures in New York City probably means he's here in New York City, I would imagine, unless he got very creative with background drops and somehow found a way to make it look like he's on the Empire State Building. So assuming he's here, I would assume he's going to be a New York Yankee, which doesn't mean he'll be a New York Yankee for long, and I would be open to bringing up a young first baseman and seeing if you have something, because we all know if the Yankees want to sign Juan Soto, and that's a topic everybody likes to talk about, they're going to have to get young in a lot of other places. And first base is one of them. So they have a month here to not only find out if they have something in this young kid where they won't have to trade away prospects to bring in an average first baseman, because I can't imagine it being much better than that. And then you could establish yourself in having a first baseman moving forward. And then what's the worst that could happen? He struggles for a month, then you make the deal at the deadline for that average first baseman and send him back down, and now he's got experience at the major league level. They're not going to do it because of the 40-man rotation. It's going to cost them someone on that rotation, on that roster spot. They don't want to do that, but ultimately, I really think that's what they should do, because I think the days now of Anthony Rizzo as the first baseman are done. I think this injury has now... We are no longer going to see Anthony Rizzo as the standalone first baseman and, you know, maybe platoon him a little bit or do something. Like, I don't see it. So we'll see what they do at the deadline. But now first base is a legitimate. A corner infielder has gone from, we'll see what's out there, I'm open to it, till now we got to go get a corner infielder, as well as probably some bullpen help. I think they're good in the rotation. Let's be honest. Cody Petit's been really good. He's out of the rotation now with Cole coming back tomorrow against Baltimore. And obviously, Clark Schmidt should be back at some point this year. And that could also be your bullpen help as well. So the Yankees, despite the fact everybody thinks Brian Cashman traded away way too much pitching depth, they still managed to have Luis Gil in the system, who was designated for minor league camp in spring training, and yet found his way to becoming, the starter of the All-Star game, probably. They still got, you know, they found guys like Cody Petit. What the Yankees have done in the pitching department is pretty crazy if you think about it. I mean, everyone's wringing their hands because they traded away Michael King. They got Luis Gil sitting waiting in the wings. That's Brian Cashman. That's right. I said it. 888-808-1019. And then, of course, we could talk Mets and their just implosion of offense. Is implosion the right word there, producer in hot water, or should I have said explosion?
Explosion.
I should have said explosion, right? Well, you can kind of...
imploding earlier in the year.
Well, it's an implosion. I'm an importer-exporter. They're an implosion-explosion kind of team.
I was thinking I'll probably just let this go, but had to ask.
As soon as I said it, I knew I said it wrong. That's the difference. This one I caught myself. The explosion of offense from the New York Mets as they put out 22 hits and 14 runs against not some crappy pitching either. John Gray for the Texas Rangers had a 2.17 ERA heading into this in 11 starts. And they get him for 9 runs, and now his ERA is still under 4. That's how good he was, that he gave up 9 runs in 3 innings, and he still got a decent ERA. They did it against Dylan Cease. Like, they've had a nice little, you know, run here. This has not been against nobody's, despite the fact that both teams have struggled and the defending champs are under 500. The pitching that they've done this against, that they've got out early leads against, has been legitimate. And it's got to continue. And the series against Chicago coming up, you want to take, you know, you want to get greedy and win all these games, but you at least want to split the next two and then go take care of business in Chicago and make sure you can add them to the list of teams that you are battling with in a wild card, that you have the advantage, that you have the tiebreaker in the head-to-head matchup. Because if you look at the National League wild card, the Mets do, right? The only two teams out of it are the Rockies and the Marlins. You got the Cubs and the Reds behind the Mets. The Cubs, they split a 4-game series with. The Reds, they won the series with. Then in front of them, they got the Pirates, swept them. Diamondbacks split a 4-game series. Padres swept them. Nationals swept them. Giants are the only team they've lost to. Other than the San Francisco Giants, even the Cardinals, they've won the season series with 1 game pending due because of rain delay being scheduled for later in the season. So, I mean, they are right there, where they might not even have to pass some of these teams. Just tying them would get you into the wild card with the tiebreaker. So we could talk about this Met offense, which is still, you know, me and Fleeks have a one-track mind when it comes to the Met offense. Like, as I'm coming back into the room, I'm like, maybe I'll reset Mets, do this. Yeah, just, you know, talk about how great the Met offense is, but Jeff McNeil still sucks. I'm like, yeah, okay. Jeff McNeil still sucks. And it's impossible to watch him swing. He did make a great defensive play on Friday night game against San Diego. You got to give him credit. His versatility, while I don't think he's excellent at either position, he's a legitimately capable outfielder and probably an average to slightly above average second baseman who made a great play the other night. So Jeff McNeil's ability to play multiple positions gives him some value, but I mean, his swing is just atrocious. I mean, it's literally, I understand that Ichiro and some of these great hitters do things where they just have that bat-to-ball skill where you wouldn't necessarily call it a great swing. Like, watch Babe Ruth. It's amazing that he was able to be successful with the amount of movement he had in his feet before swinging a bat is incredible. But even, like, you know, beautiful swings, you would think Tony Gwynn, right? You watch Tony Gwynn, he has these awkward swings. Vladimir Guerrero, awkward swings. But they had this great bat-to-ball skill. And Jeff McNeil has that on some level, but man, oh man, does his body go one way and his arms and the bat go another way too freaking often. And he's constantly popping up. The only thing Jeff McNeil does is these little bloopers that hopefully land. I mean, it used to just be, vintage Jeff McNeil with a little bloop single for his third hit of the game. That made sense. Now it's like, that bloop single for his third hit of the week. Like, it's just brutal. Just brutal. But we could talk Mets. We could talk, obviously, Boston Celtics. They have now won a championship again, and they are the most winning franchise in NBA history, overtaking the Lakers as they just absolutely walk through the NBA playoffs. Wire-to-wire champion, dominant force inside the NBA this year. And it's just amazing how many championships Boston has. Maybe that's why I hate Tom Brady so much. Maybe I'm just hung up on this New York-Boston thing ever since 2004. But, I mean, if you go back, how many championships has Boston won? I mean, it's just ridiculous. If you go back to the beginning of the Patriot run, you've got 6 from the Patriots, 4 from the Red Sox, now 2 from the Celtics, and 1 from the Bruins. And the Yankees have 1, and the Giants have 2. That's it. Save us, Mets, and your implosion of offense. You're our only hope. That's it for me. I think 5 hours is enough. I'll catch you guys tomorrow, 2 a.m. We will recap the first game of this series, Yankees and Baltimore. Hopefully I'll be in the building if my wife lets me. Should be fun. Mets, will they continue their winning ways? Plenty to discuss. Until then, have a great Tuesday. The warm-up show is next. Fliegelman, thank you. Thank you for calling and listening. Enjoy your day. I'm out of here.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.